Welcome, friends. You are listening to the Mind Body Alchemy Podcast. I'm your host, Stephanie Miramontes. This is where intuition meets education in the realms of spirituality, fitness, mindset, and more, all to create lasting change. Welcome back to the podcast, and thank you so much for being here. I'm looking forward to welcoming some new members into Masterful this week. And I just wanted to let you know that if you missed the boat on that, shoot me a message. Let me know that you're interested, and we will make sure that we get you on the next round. The doors are currently closed, and the doors for Unstuffed are on their way to opening on April 22nd. So if that is something that's interesting to you, make sure you mark your calendars for that and get on the no obligation interest list so that you can get some good information ahead of time that can help you get a head start on your habits, shifting your mindset, changing your behavior. So last week, we talked about some cognitive distortion. All or nothing thinking, the self-judgment crap, discounting the positives. Y'all know that negativity bias is a bitch. Overgeneralization, exaggerating your beliefs, creating these identities that something is wrong with you or the reason you can't do something is because of how you are or who you are. We talked about the shoulds and how they get in your way. And this week, we are going to take on another four. And boy, oh boy, the last one is a doozy. The first one we are going to talk about is catastrophizing. Now, we all know somebody, maybe that somebody is even in the mirror, but usually we know somebody who is addicted to the drama and who makes things so much bigger than they actually are. And if you are catastrophizing in weight loss, in fat loss, in the way that your eating habits are or your exercise habits are, your mental and emotional, physical well-being, your health, whatever, then chances are you're experiencing some shame. And shame is a difficult emotion to hold. It's very human of us. It's normal for us to experience shame. We can't really escape it. It's part of the human condition. However, it is the least fun. It is not who we want to bring to a party, and it certainly isn't helping us lose weight. So if this is something you're experiencing, you are making every mistake or disruption worse than it is by going down a worst case scenario path without solving for it. That's the key. You can go down worst case scenario paths all you want, but the struggle here that gets created comes from not solving for that worst case scenario. You never build the confidence and the competence to help you get to the next step. Instead, you get stuck in the shame piece. You get stuck in the worst case scenario piece, and it's disempowering. So when you find yourself catastrophizing, you use it as evidence that you're never going to get there. That, of course, results in shaming yourself and feeling broken and feeling defeated and all the other shit. And here's the thing, like, let's say that you have struggled with binge eating or big emotional eats in the past. And after staying steady for what felt like a long time, you have a binge or you go down a rabbit hole, finding yourself emptying a bag of potato chips on the sofa in front of the TV, reach your hand in, the whole bag is gone. You're feeling miserable. You're feeling sick. You're pretty disappointed in yourself. You're pretty frustrated with your behavior. And because of this behavior, we are discounting all of the steady, consistent progress we've made because you were thinking, well, I'll never binge again. I'll never overeat like I used to. And then you did. And so now you think you'll never beat binge eating. You'll never beat overeating. Your brain tells you this is the worst case scenario. You've done it again. And that must mean you've gone backwards. That must mean that you're not as far along as you thought you were, that you're never actually going to figure this out. And that really sucks. So 3 days later, you're still binge eating or overeating because you keep thinking about how hard it's going to be to get back on track. And you think you have to do everything that you were doing before, or you'll never experience fat loss. You'll never get to your goal. And that is such bullshit. Weight loss happens in the small decisions done on repeat. Has nothing to do with your binge, but instead it has to do with how you talk to yourself after that experience, what you're willing to do next, instead of making it a big grand gesture, making one decision at a time, instead of making big promises to yourself that you keep disappointing yourself with, that you keep letting go of because they're not sustainable. You get there one step at a time. And instead of avoiding the small steps because you want the big steps and they're too hard right now, you say, you know what? I am going to do the small steps. I'm going to do little by little, back to basics. one decision, one meal, one day at a time. That is how we continue to make progress and we beat catastrophizing. So if you are afraid that you're going to go back to binge eating, if you're afraid that you're going to have a big overeat or something, and that is your worst case scenario, just solve it. What will you do if that happens? What could you try? What could you tell yourself in that moment? What would you be willing to learn from the experience instead of making it who you are, understanding that it's an experience that you had? It's not a problem. It's just something we need to look at. The next is fortune telling. You believe your future is set in stone. No matter what you do, it won't last and it won't matter. So why bother skipping that nightly glass of wine if you won't be able to skip it tomorrow or the next day or definitely not next week? We see this a lot with things like Sober October, Dry January, things of that nature. We see it a lot with cleanses and fasts and Whole 30 timeline-based diets and things of that nature, because anybody can do anything for a short period of time when their mind is set to this very specific timeline. Oftentimes, it's easier for the brain to say, oh, okay, well, I can do that for 30 days. I can do that for a week. I can do that for a certain period of time. But it's not who I am. It's not what I'm going to do forever. And so anytime I have a client come to me and say, hey, I really want to do Sober October. I really want to do Dry January. I really want to cut out sugar for a week or something like that. I always ask them, what are your reasons? Help me understand what we're trying to get out of this. Because of course, nobody has to drink, obviously. Nobody has to eat cookies, obviously. We don't have to. But if it's not going to help you change your life, meaning you don't have a purpose behind it other than taking a break from alcohol or whatever, which is fine. But if you don't have a deeper, more meaningful reason for doing these things, then it's going to be no different than a restrictive diet where you go off the diet and then you eat your face off on everything that you missed out on because you're feeling deprived and you're feeling restricted. And so this fortune telling says, hey, I am who I am. I'm not going to change. I'm a rebel. I just always rebel against things. I can't help it. I do it in everything in my life. Or I'm just very type A and very controlling, but I don't want to control this. And so you talk about yourself like you can't change, like you are set in stone. Your future is set in stone. Your decisions are set in stone. And you're not really experiencing a growth mindset. You're not asking yourself questions like, could I change? What would change look like? What would a small change look like? Could that benefit me? How would that benefit me? What would it cost me? Would I really miss a nightly glass of wine? What if I had a little less? What are the nights that I really want the wine versus the nights that I don't really want it, but it's just a habit? Do I really need to end every meal with something sweet? Or is that just another food rule that's controlling me? When we believe that we can't change, we avoid being flexible and we prove ourselves correct. But none of that is true. The brain science says you can change. And if you want to argue with a brain scientist, be my guest. But I'm not gonna. Instead, I would rather prove them right and say, you know what? I bet I can change. I bet if I have a behavior that is giving me consequences that don't align with the version of me that I want to be, with the future that I want to have, with the experience I want to have, I bet I can change it. I just have to figure it out. I just haven't solved the puzzle yet. All right, the next one is control fallacies. This has two parts. You believe that you control nothing in your life, or you believe you control everything in your life. If you feel like nothing is in your control, you become a victim. You wanted to eat an early breakfast, but you couldn't because your partner likes to sleep in. So you waited and got so hungry that you overate again. You planned to go to the gym after work, but got some last minute emails that you had to answer immediately. And by the time you were done, you wouldn't have enough time for it to matter before going home to take care of your kids. Because these situations feel like they are out of your control, because everything is happening to you, you don't feel empowered to make decisions that support your goals because you feel like even if you did and you successfully made those choices, the other shoe is eventually going to drop and throw you off track. It's going to eventually get in your way. So we take on this sort of victim mindset. And I've always kind of hated that mentality, that not the victim mentality, but the phrasing, victim mindset. Although everybody understands what it is, it's the language I'm using here. I still think, you know, the only reason we would ever feel that way is because we've been conditioned to feel that way. We've been trained to feel that way, whether it's something in your upbringing or something that you've adapted to learning. The chances are pretty high that you would choose something different if you were given the opportunity. And the real kicker is that you do have the opportunity, but you have to see where you are adopting this mindset first so that you can recognize when it's coming in so that you can make a different choice. And it's going to feel a little stretchy. It's going to be a little uncomfortable, but it's not going to break you. And that's where we really need to start doing the work, is in the stretchy places. On the other side of that coin, if you believe everything is in your control, then you take on the role and responsibility of managing everything and everyone around you. Like the last minute emails that derailed you, you take responsibility for the fact that your boss emailed you as you were walking out the door, and you take responsibility for their emotional state of disappointment or stress if you don't get it done instantly. You constantly worry about how everyone else will suffer if you decide to prioritize your own needs. This leads to people pleasing. You think that it is all your responsibility, that it is all your job to manage their emotions, their expectations, and everything else, instead of communicating what you need, why it's important for you to do the things that you want to be doing, and allow people to have the emotional experience that they have and take responsibility for those emotions themselves. Now you can see how, if you are an emotional eater, how this would lead to emotional eating. If we feel powerless and out of control, we're probably going to be eating at our desk, people-pleasing, doing all the things. If we feel like we are in control of everything, including other people's emotions and experiences, we're going to put our own needs on the back burner. We're not going to be showing up and doing the things that we want to do for ourselves because we're too busy, too preoccupied, making sure everyone else around us is happy and taken care of. We're last. And what I've often found is that people that put themselves last never make it on the list at all. All right, I promise you the last one was a doozy, and here it is. Emotional reasoning. This one shows up as fear as it relates to fat loss and weight loss. It states that because you feel something, it must be true, even if you have the evidence that it isn't. For example, because you lost weight on the keto diet in the past, you fear that eating carbs will make you fat, even though there are plenty of people who eat carbs and are lean, fit, thin, whatever. And the research doesn't show that carbs are fat-gaining macronutrients. In fact, there are no fat-gaining foods or fat-gaining macronutrients. You believe they must be because at the end of that keto diet, you went off the rails with the carbs and gained a fuck ton of weight and fast. So doubling down on this belief or any similar fear-based belief keeps you trying the same old shit, dicking around with the same 20 plus pounds because you won't try something better and more aligned with your lifestyle and preferences because your emotions say, this is scary. This is wrong. I must be in this place because of this thing. I must be overweight and overeating because I'm addicted to carbs. Carbs must be addictive. They must be fattening. They must be fat gaining because when I was keto, I lost the weight. And now that I'm eating carbs, I've regained the weight. But really, what made you regain the weight was overeating in the first place. And the reason you were overeating so rapidly after the keto diet was because you were deprived of the carbs, because your body was like, ooh, finally, yay, hallelujah, this bitch is feeding me. I'm about to eat all of it just in case she goes on another one of her little whims and cuts everything out again. As difficult as this may seem, your emotions are not facts, but you operate from them anyway. We all do. That can't be helped. It's how the human brain works. Our thoughts create feelings, and then our feelings lead us to behaviors. Our behaviors on repeat are what create our results in our lives. And when we continue to do that over and over again, that creates our beliefs, our habits, our framework for living. We are controlled by emotions. We can bring logic in, but only with awareness. So if that is the case, isn't it better to create emotional experiences that are in alignment with what you want for your life instead of doubling down on the experiences that you don't? Wouldn't it be better to second guess the things that you believe in your life that are not serving you? Wouldn't it be better to have somebody support you and help you see that these things are actually not always what they seem? And that when we hear something or when we believe something, oftentimes there is context missing. And oftentimes we need someone to help us fill in the gaps and show us a path forward. The reality is you have what it takes to make changes. You have what it takes to make progress. You have what it takes to lose your weight and lose it for the last time. You have what it takes to reach your goals. But there are some emotional barriers standing in your way, just like there were emotional barriers standing in my way. And I didn't know until I knew. And when I knew better, I was able to make better choices. I was able to watch my emotions and notice how they were impacting me, how they were impacting my choices. And it's still a lifelong journey. It's still something I continue to do in many areas of my life, probably should be doing in other areas of my life too. That would be much improved if I would be applying these same principles to those things. And that is the beauty of this work, is that oftentimes you do see this work on your relationship with food, on overeating, on learning how to create healthy habits, expand into so many other areas of your life that those things all start to improve. Again, it's not perfect, but it's not supposed to be. You're not supposed to be. We need to be learning and growing all the time. That's what makes us human. It's what connects us together. And it's why you're here. So don't give up. All right, that is all I have for you today. Remember, Unstuffed opens on April 22nd. We are inviting people to join the interest list and get some information that is just going to be helpful. It's no obligation, but we would love to see you there. And make sure that you are on the email list so you don't miss a thing that is coming your way in the future all across 2024. If you enjoyed this episode, do the cool thing by leaving a rating and review for the podcast. It helps me so much more than you know. A no-cost way to support me in this work is to share. Screenshot the episode, share it on social media, and tag me so that I can come by and say thanks. Share the episode with a friend or a family member. We all know people who could benefit from understanding themselves and their emotions a little bit better. I know I do. And if you have any questions or thoughts on this episode, ideas for future episodes, or if you want to know how we can work together one-on-one, my inbox is always open for you. All that contact information is in the show notes. See you next week. Bye.